We will now turn to the Word of God in Genesis chapter 12. The very beginning of the Bible, the very first book, is Genesis and chapter 12. This is the text from which I will be preaching on the topic for today, the call of Abraham. Now the Lord has said unto Abram, before his name was changed to Abraham, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, to the land I will show thee. I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great. Thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. This is a fantastic promise of God. And we are going to see in the sermon how this is being fulfilled. Finally, verse 4. So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed. Let us pray. Almighty Father in heaven, we thy people bow in humble supplication, pleading with the Father, our Creator and Redeemer, to hear our humble prayer. For we come as needy people, confessing that in the weak past, many a time we have been negligent, we have offended, transgressed, and sinned against thee. O Father in heaven, have mercy to cleanse us. Purify thy people, everyone who sits here listening, everyone who has a feeling of anxiety, being troubled by some offense against thee. O Lord, may thou in mercy cleanse us. Purify thy people and enable us, energize us, that we may all live for thee every day in a wicked and evil world, that we may shine as lights daily in our going out and coming in our daily affairs at home or at work or at school, that wherever we go we may be shining witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who came, the one who died, the one who rose for us and is coming again for us. O Lord our God, bless every hearer. Bless the homes represented here. And all our children who are attending school, where they are filled with the knowledge of the world plus the lies of the devil in being told of the many fabrications of evolutionism. O Lord, deliver us. Save your people from the traps of the devil, that we, knowing thee, may always remain faithful, following Jesus and telling others about the Savior. O Lord, make us to be a good witnessing people. Bless every home. Bless those who are sick. Bless those who are in need of comfort, of finance, whatever the need, Lord, thou knowest all very well. And may thou answer each prayer of every troubled heart. Cleanse us and use us and hear our prayer and attune our hearts and ears to understand thy truth. And in the understanding be strengthened, be helped in our Christian life every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I have entitled my sermon for this morning as The Call of Abraham. Abraham was an inhabitant of that part of the world today known as, what do you think? The country is very well known because of the invasion by, or the intrusion of American troops into Iraq. That is where Abraham came from. And that is where the story begins. Abraham was called of God to depart from his hometown, from his people, from his country, and to go to a place he did not know. An amazing call. And Abraham, as a mature man, 75 years old, of course in those days they may live up to 200, and so 75 was not too old to travel. And he packed up and went and began a new race of people called the Jews. What has that got to do with us today? That Abraham became the first Jew. But that is not all. May I inform you that he became also the first Christian? The first one to step out and to follow the Lord Jesus and to found a new race of people called Christians. Jews are very special people. Do you know how many Jews there are in the world today? Approximately? Approximately. We cannot know for sure because there's over thousands of years intermarriage and migrations, they are merged with many other races, but as far as we can tell, there are about 15 million Jews. About half maybe in the Holy Land and about half outside. Majority in America. That is why you have such a strong Jewish lobby in America. In terms of percentage, the Jews form about 0.2%, not 2%, but 0.2. In other words, if you take the whole population of the world out of every 1,000, there'll be two Jews. 2.2%. And I'm going to tell you 10 distinctive things, accomplishments, or distinctives about the Jews. 10. And many of these will surprise you. For example, when you take a handphone, the components and the evolution of this little instrument is majorly due to the Jews. Without the Jews, you don't have the handphone technology. Do you know the prize called the Nobel Prize? Only the best brains in the world will be awarded Nobel Prize. Nobel Prize is given by the estate of Nobel, who left behind large sums of money, and it is awarded for peace, like Mr. Obama was given a peace prize, Nobel Peace Prize, for literature, for science, for many other things that matter in the world context. Now, if Jews are 0.2% of the world population, how come they were awarded 22% of all Nobel Prizes? Now why? We read just now, in God's call to Abraham, God said, I will make you a blessing to others. Make you a blessing, just a blessing wherever you go. And here we are going to see, as I will unfold to you, how the Jews have been a blessing and continue to be a blessing. So, for peace, for laboring in this area, there was an award. For education, ever heard of the Ivy League? Now that is the top educational institutions on the East Coast of America. Places like Harvard, Yale, Cornell, Columbia, and a few others, altogether eight. The majority of the professors and the heads of departments are Jews. Why? There is no explanation except Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. The Lord God says, Abraham, you are going to be a people called the Jews, and you will be a blessing in education. In the schools of the Ivy League, 21% are Jews. Why is it? Competing with all the other races, why should they be one-fifth when they are only 0.2% of the world population? 30% of the professors in Harvard and Yale and Stanford are Jews. How come? Now we take philanthropy. What is philanthropy? People who have so much money. Well, actually, you do not need to have much money, but people who are generous, who think of others, who think of the underprivileged, those people who are poor, or who have some problem, like earthquake in Haiti. Philanthropists will send money there. Of the, in a survey by Business Week in the year 2004, surveying the 50 most generous Americans who gave money, it was found that 19 of the 50 were Jews, which makes 38%. How come? Why are other people not rich? But these people feel for others, and they give to others. And in 5 years, they gave about 10 billion American dollars. Why? All because God said to Abraham, your children, descendants, are going to bless the people. Now coming to something that will interest the ladies. Ready to wear garments. You go to a shop, you don't have to take measurements, you just see your size and you pick it up and you go. Of all those garment industries in America, 241 were surveyed. How many of them were owned by Jews, who were run by Jews? All of them except 7. In other words, about 230 plus were done by Jews. Let me give you some names. Levi Strauss. You understand that? Of course. Everybody knows that. Ralph Lauren. I never knew that, but I wear a Ralph Lauren shirt. And he comes from a Jew. Calvin Klein. Huh? Shock some of you. Donna Karen. Now come again to ladies. Cosmetics. Helena Rubinstein. Jew. Jewish. Estee Lauder. Charles Revson. Amazing. Are they the only ones that love perfumes? No, everybody loves perfumes. But these people specialize, and God blesses them with better noses. They smell better. They know the scent they will sell. This is not a joke, but if you notice, Jews have a larger nose, you know, and a hooked one. Now come to F&B. Why is it Jews dominate the field of F&B? You see, where? Starbucks coffee. Who? Jews. Häagen-Dazs ice cream. Who? Jews. Seagram wines. I don't drink, I don't know, but it is said to be a famous one. Jews. Weight Watchers. This is for fat people. And Slim Fast. All these are invented and marketed by Jews. And they know where your money is, that everyone who feels the waist is fat begins to take Weight Watchers and Slim Fast. Now, coming to the computer-related industry. Everybody nowadays has a computer. from the kindergarten child up to the old man, everybody got to use computer except me. I don't need, because I learned it and never learned. Never mind. In the computer industry, all these names are household names. Dell, Jews. I bought 2 Dells and I failed twice. I gave to my daughter and granddaughter. Intel. Ever heard of that? Google, Jews. Microsoft, Oracle, Yahoo. All these are Jews. All these are in the computer related industry. IAC. Are you satisfied? God's word never fails. If God says, Abraham, your descendants are going to be a blessing, they are. Why? Because God said so. And God saw to it that they will be. That they are a cut above the rest. Because God set his seal of approval. Now let's get on. Great names in all of history. Who are the greatest names? Number one, of all names, Jesus. Moses. St. Paul. Einstein. Heard of Einstein? Karl Marx. And Freud. According to statistics, there are 35 times more common, more in occurrence than they should be by proportion of population. Why? Because God said so. Now the target of hatred of all people on planet Earth, there is no people that gain a name called hate target. Anti-Semitism. There is no name to say hate America, although the Chinese hated America for all the years of Mao Zedong's reign. Yeah. While he was alive, the Chinese were taught, hate America, kill Americans. But there is no name. In the case of Jews, anti-Semitism is a name that has become a household word. Why did anyone invent this name? That they are the descendants of Shem. Shem. And out of Shem came Sem. And Sem becomes anti-Semite. And anti-Semitism is a word that is used to describe people who normally, for no reason, hate Jews. Just hate Jews. Why did they hate Jews? Again, God has said so. Jews are hated, persecuted, killed, and conquered, taken captives in exile from the time of Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonians, before him Assyrians, after him Romans, after that Arabs, the latest Hitler, German. That is nearer our time. Most of you did not know, but those who are old enough will understand. 6 million Jews were sent to the Holocaust to be drugged with cyanide and then burnt alive. Burnt, their corpses were burnt into ashes. How many? 6 million. Because Hitler says, we are the Aryan race. We only are the superior race, the Germans. And these Jews are pests. They must be exterminated. So in Europe, he rounded up 6 million Jews and put them to the gas chambers. As a people, they are hounded and hated and chased out of every country until they were dispersed. That's why you have the wandering Jews all over the world. In China, in the remote part of China, there are colonies of Jews. In South America, South Africa, everywhere around the world, because they were persecuted and sold out as slaves. Amazing. So that the country of Israel, which is today called Palestine and the surrounding area, for years was lasts for nearly 2,000 years. From the time the Romans sacked the country and sold away the Jews to be slaves overseas, Israel was without a nation, and the people were a nation without a country. Do you know that? For 2,000 years. No other country is like that country until the year 1948. How many were born at that time? 1948. United Nations declared the new state of Israel, the modern state of Israel, is declared from this day when? 1948. How long is that ago? 63 years. All right. This is the age of this new nation of Israel. And what has been the history of this country? One word in three letters spells it: war. The Arabs will not allow the Jews to survive. They all have a formula that we will exterminate the Jews, we'll drive them into the sea, that they will not inhabit this land anymore. But God has not abandoned them. God is with them. And so the history given to us that we all understand, those who are old enough, you've gone through it, but if not, read the books. In five wars from 1948 until 1960 something, in five wars against 100 million Arabs surrounding them, that peanut of a country called Israel fought back and won 5-0. Do you understand football? It's 5-0. You score five times. Every war with the Arabs were overwhelming in superiority of numbers of tanks, of motor vehicles, etc., etc. They were beaten by this tiny little peanut of a country. How come? So this is the history. And to cap it all, spiritually speaking, we all are children of Abraham. Did you know that? You say, well, I'm not a Jew. You need not be a Jew. But everyone who believes in the Jew, Jesus Christ, you become a child of God and a descendant of Abraham. Please turn to the book of Galatians chapter 3. Book of Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3 verse 14. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. We are Gentiles. But we have to go through the Jew. Who is the Jew? Jesus Christ. I read that verse again. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles, on us, the Chinese Gentiles, through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Verse 26-25. Please see it. Verse 25. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster, for you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. 27. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Because you have believed and trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, you were baptized into the family of God in Abraham through Jesus Christ our Lord. Verse 29. Then here you have it very clear. And if you be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed. You are children of Abraham and heirs according to the promise. Amazing. This is God's word. That spiritually all of us are children of Abraham. Now we come to the text proper, and we will see in Genesis chapter 12, the beginning of the story, how God launched his plan for world global salvation. This was about 4,000 years ago. In terms of chronology, it was approximately about 4,000 years ago. At that time, God spoke to one man and called one man. This is history. We are not talking speculation or mythology or fables. This is recorded history. We can see the history in front of our eyes, in the things you wear, in the cosmetics you use, in the people you meet. In the history right now, you walk into a place called Jerusalem, it is still there. And this is a city that is being contested between the Jews and the Arabs. And the first one who started this race of Jews was called Abraham. Now we're talking, how did he start? Genesis 12. Now the Lord spoke to Abram. Abram means exalted father. Exalted. But God changed it to Abraham to mean father of many nations, which he is. Because out of his loins, because his wife was shaken in the face, no patience to wait, asked her husband to take on the Jewish, the Egyptian maid called Hagar, and make her his second wife. And out came Ishmael, and that began the very first of the Arab-Israeli conflict in the home of Abraham. Now read. Now the Lord said to Abraham, get thee out of the country, from your kindred and from your father's house, to a land I will show you. This is a promise. There's a land. But you must get out of your land. I will give you a different land. Verse 2. I will make of thee a great nation. At that time, Abraham was childless. How can you have a nation when you have no children? And he was 75. If we take averages, he would have been married at least 40 years. At least 40 years. Right? 75. When do people get married in those days? Could be 20, 25, 30. Let's say late age, 35. So 40 years married. As a gynecologist, may I inform you, if you are married and not doing birth control and do not conceive, in 4 years we write you off. Yes. You are infertile. Now here is a man with his wife, 40 years married, no child. And God says, I'll make you a nation. What fairy tales are you telling me? That you ask me to go to a foreign place, I've never even seen it or heard about it, and I have to go? And then you make me a nation? How? No child. So this is where the faith is being tested. What is the bottom line, dear friend? If God says so, don't doubt, please. Sarah doubted. Sarah says, God promised us to be a nation. How can we have a nation? Hagar, you oblige. And Abraham, you have Hagar. At least you must start to get a nation for God. I say, God does not need help in that way. If God says so, it is so. It may take time. God never says that I'll make you a nation tomorrow. But the nation will come. When? Over thousands of years. Today, how many Jews are there? 15 million. Amazing, isn't it? God's word. Verse 2. I will make thee a nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great. Thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curses thee. In thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. How many blessings did God promise Abraham? I can see four distinct ones. Four. If you follow me, I'll tell you. Verse 1 says, I'll give you a land. Okay. Number 1 is the land. Number 2, I'll make you a nation. That's different from the land. There is a nation. Is there a nation today? Yes. The Jews. Israel. How many? I told you just now. 15 million. Did Abraham at that time have even one child? Answer is nil. Nothing. Because we're not talking of his other children, but we're talking of the children by faith. That is, God will do it. God promised Sarah will bear you the son. Sarah, not Hagar. But it took time. It took how many years? 25 years before the son came. But Sarah, for weakness of her faith, put in Hagar to be the second wife, and out came a son at 13 years. So by the time Isaac was born to Sarah, there was already a son in the house, 13 years old, that began trouble. And jealousy came in. Now we read on. First promise, a land. Second promise is a nation. And number three, you will be a blessing. Number three, end of verse two. Third blessing. And what is the fourth blessing? I will, in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now, how does that work out? Can you tell me? How can all the families of the earth be blessed because of Abraham? Answer, we today in RELC are the evidence. All those who believe in Jesus Christ are become seed of Abraham. Where did you find it? Galatians 3, verse 29. Okay, please remember the context. But if you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're trusting in a Jew. Jesus Christ. The Jew who is a child of Abraham is traced along the line. And therefore you and I become children of Abraham. And so we are part of that prophecy that in thee, Abraham, all families of the earth will be blessed one day when Jesus comes to be born of the Virgin Mary, and that genealogy traces back to Abraham. This is the meaning of it. And Abraham departed. Verse 4 is the proof of the faith of Abraham. If Abraham had heard all this and said, thank you Lord, wonderful, I believe all of it. And he goes to sleep in Ur of the Chaldees and never wants to move. He says, my business here is so good and I'm old. I stay on here. I believe God, Lord, is all good. Let me have all the blessings, but let me not move. I'm too tired to move. How about that? Faith is to hear God's word and to obey. Because Abraham obeyed, God counted him for righteousness. God has an account book of all of us. When you hear God's word and you say, yes, Lord, I obey, and go and do, the account with God is righteousness accorded to you. If you hear and do nothing, you get nothing. So this is it. This is an amazing story of one man who became the head of a whole race of people called Jews, who through 4,000 years had become 15 million, persecuted, killed, and driven out of their own country in every place. You know, the Russians had what they call pogroms, organized killings in bands, persecute them, kill them. No defense. If you're a Jew, you found out, they will surround you and kill you. Despite all these persecutions and killings, 15 million Jews survive today. Why? What is your answer? Answer? Simply because God said so. There will be a nation, and this nation will be a blessing. So next time you take your handphone, remember, there are Jews in there. You do your Google, you do your whatever, Yahoo. Remember, it's a Jew who did it. And so many other things. Time does not allow me to tell you all the other blessings that come to everyone every day in every country because of the promise of God to Abraham. I am making you a blessing to all the nations of the world, both materially, intellectually, financially. You'll be a blessing, but above all, because Jesus Christ came a Jew. When we believe in Him, it says you become a child of Abraham. Romans chapter 11, in closing, so that you will understand better. When Paul, the master theologian and the master of history, tells us of theology, Romans, what will become of Israel eventually? This is what we are interested to know. Today you talk so much about the blessing of Jews. Are the Jews Christians? I say no. What are they? Majority are atheists. They don't even believe in God. Majority, by poll, about 85% of Jews do not believe in God at all. Then how can they be blessed? At the moment they are blinded. Who says so? The Bible. Who says so? Who wrote it? Paul the Apostle. God gave him superior insight to know, why is it I am a Jew? Paul says, I am a Jew. Why is it my people do not believe in Jesus? Instead of believing, they condemn him to death and put him to the cross and kill him. And they're out to kill me. They nearly killed Paul. And all the apostles, all the other apostles were killed one by one. Why? Because the Jews were blinded in unbelief. They hated Jesus. A Jew hating a Jew. But this was God's plan. God has a wonderful plan. Despite all these things, God's plan will succeed. Because the Jews finally will be converted. He says, go on with you. You have wishful thinking. You could try to convert a Jew, it's very hard. I had Jewish patients, women Jews, come to see me. And I tried to talk to them about Jesus. Wow, they changed at once, changed. They're no more my friends, they don't like to talk to me anymore. The Jews today are close to Jesus. You don't talk to them about Jesus. That doesn't mean that you don't talk. You still witness, still tell them about the Lord Jesus. Perchance, some, like Paul, may be converted. How was Paul converted? Jesus met him on the Damascus Road, you remember that. So there are Jews who do become Christians. We had a visit about 6 years ago. When I remember, I tell you, but he came to preach in our church and he's preached here also. And he's a Jew, he's converted, and he says, I try my best to convert all my family, but nobody wants to believe at all. There are very few conversions among Jews, but the day comes. Oh, his name is called Raymond Sachs. Yes, some of you know him. He's older than me by about 2 years. But he goes around the world preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he's a Jew. And he always likes to pull my legs and say, you Gentiles. So he's superior, he's a Jew. So he's a Jew. And he goes around preaching Jesus Christ. And he tries converting his own family. He says, none of them wants to believe. Only one. Now, has God written off the Jews? He says, since the Jews don't believe, God writes them off. They say, no more. No grace for Jews. Is that so? No. The Lord has a plan. God has a plan. Finally, eventually, at the last, the Jews will be converted. Who says so? The Word of God says so. And if God's Word says so, believe it, please. Because God never says anything that is wrong or not true. Now, I'm giving to you Romans chapter 11, the chapter which tells you the Jews will be converted at the end. Verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery. Ah, it's a mystery. You cannot understand. How can the atheists be converted into belief in the Lord Jesus? But this is a mystery. God will do it. You believe it? Lest you should be wise in your own conceit. The blindness now is in part happened to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in, until the number of Gentiles that should be saved is met. Fullness of the Gentiles. Until the double that are converted to believe Jesus Christ among the Gentile people have reached God's target mark. How many is it? We don't know. What must we do? Go out and save the people. Tell them about Savior. And when they believe, that number keeps growing. And the moment it hits the final mark that God says, that is the mark, I will now convert the Jews. They will be converted. That's why we emphasize on evangelism. Door-to-door evangelism. Personal evangelism. Preaching from the pulpit evangelism. Persuading people to believe, so that they themselves will escape the perdition and destruction in hell and come to the Savior and be saved today. Don't wait, because you never know your life, how long it will be. Can you know? You cannot know. But one thing is sure, as appointed unto men once to die, after that there is judgment. Be ready, dear friends. Once you have come to the Lord Jesus Christ, He takes away your judgment. He takes the judgment on His own body on the cross. Now verse 25. And so all Israel shall be saved. Verse. Can you remember this verse? Romans 11:26. All Israel shall be saved. As it is written, I shall come out of Zion. There shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Another name for Israel is Jacob. You remember his original name was Jacob, grabber. And God changed his name to say, no, I give you a new name called Israel. God fights for you. God fights for you. This is why Israel is still surviving today, in spite of all the 100 million Arabs around it. Israel is superior, surviving because God blesses. Now, I read verse 26 again. All Israel shall be saved, because it is written, God's word says, and it will surely happen, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from my people Israel, Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins, as concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes today. Today, according to God's plan, the Jews have been alienated from the gospel for our sakes, that we receive the gospel because the Jews have rejected. Now, this is a mystery why it should be so, but it is so. That the Jews reject their Savior and the gospel, according to Paul, he says, now my own countrymen reject the gospel, I will turn to the Gentiles. So we get the benefit. Verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out, that we as Gentiles originally never meant to receive the gospel, now we receive the gospel because the Jews rejected it. And therefore the gospel is preached to Gentiles, Chinese, Indians and others, that we may have salvation. Now verse 36. For of him and through him and in him, to him are all things, to whom be glory forever and ever. When God says so, it is so. It will be so. Abraham's story must persuade someone here. I hope it does. To open your eyes and your mind. Hitherto you have heard the gospel and you always reject. But will you reconsider after today? Turn to the Bible, which you always thought is fiction, fairy tale, not true. If God says something that comes true 4,000 years later, according exactly to the words of Holy Scripture in Genesis 12, and now being fulfilled in front of our eyes in the 20th century, 21st century, can you not understand and accept that God is a God of the future? God is not just a God of the past, but continually He is God up to the future, and He controls everything, so that your computer assisted business by Google and Yahoo all come to pass because of Jews. And God said so 4,000 years ago. Is that not enough to persuade some unbeliever here, resisting and resisting and say, I won't believe in Jesus? May you open your eyes and may God open your spiritual understanding that God is merciful to Jews, to Gentiles, to you and to me. Let us pray. Father in heaven, speak to someone's heart who has been resisting the gospel, that today may be the day of salvation. Today may salvation come in the most wonderful way, that we all may rejoice because the story of Abraham is so true. Hear this our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.